to Grow Your E-commerce Business podcast. I'm here with Sierra Stokeland from Inventory Genius, and she's going to start off by telling us about her story. So over to you, Sierra.
All right. Thank you for having me. Yes. So I am a third generation entrepreneur. I've been in small business for over 2 decades now. And I started my first retail business in 2006. It was a small brick and mortar boutique in North Dakota in the US, and built that into a franchise business. On the back end of it, we actually would buy and sell overstock and liquidation product. So I also had a warehouse. I brokered overstock inventory, would sell to big chains like TJ Maxx and so forth. So I have touched a lot of inventory over the course of these 2 decades. And some of my small business journey has been wildly successful, building a multi-million dollar franchise business.
How many franchises did you have?
We had 13.
What were you selling?
Designer outlet product, women's. So it was similar to TJ Maxx, but in a small boutique environment. Yep. Okay. So I would buy and sell overstocks, which was, pretty fantastic. Heading into 2008 with the recession in the United States, it was perfect timing for me to grow an outlet or an overstock concept. So that worked really well, and we franchised that. And then I ended up selling the franchise brand to one of my franchisees, built my next inventory-based business, which was a subscription box for retailers and wholesalers. So I would match a retailer with a new wholesaler and deliver them a subscription box of samples to their doorstep. So I built that company, grew it, and sold it in 18 months. And during that process, really did business a lot differently than I had done previously. I started focusing on profit instead of sales. And that's when I started just meeting so many inventory-based business owners that had a lot of questions about profit, inventory numbers. And so I slowly began to make my way into what I'm doing now, which is coaching and consulting.
So this is exciting, because I mean, I just think, you know, I think inventory is the sexy bit about e-commerce or commerce in general. It's just great to meet someone who just, you know, presumably you think it's sexy too.
I mean,
the real nitty gritty of it, so tell me, why do you focus on the inventory when you go visit a business?
Yeah. So if you sell anything, if you exchange anything for cash for money, you have inventory. And inventory is a cash eating monster if you do not learn how to control it. So you can very quickly find yourself with lots of sales, millions of dollars in sales, and no money, no cash, if you don't know how to manage your inventory. And so that's why I dive right in and look at, what is the inventory doing to your business? What's the role that the inventory is playing? And how can you use your inventory to create more profit and keep more cash in the business? Use it as a tool instead of looking at it as the fun part. I get to buy and sell pretty things. You know, I get to go out and just spend money on stuff. Look at inventory as actually a tool to create profitability.
What do you mean by a tool to create profitability?
Yeah. So I give the illustration to my clients that inventory is like cash on hangers and cash in boxes. So we don't want that cash sitting around. We want that cash creating more cash. Yeah. So if you have a piece of inventory, let's say you buy it for $5 and you sell it for $10, you know, I used to think, oh, wow, I made $5, until my accountant told me, actually, Sierra, it costs X amount to turn the lights on and X amount to pay people. Quite frankly, you maybe made nothing at all. Yeah. Inventory, if managed properly, can give us that margin. So now we buy it for $5 and maybe we sell it for $20. We have the control over our inventory, the way that we buy it, the way that we price it, to create excess profit or excess cash for us. And so I love to help owners realize how powerful their inventory is if they're managing it properly.
So what steps would you say, you know, when you go to business, what are the steps you take to analyze a business?
Yeah. You know, when someone first chats with me, they always ask me, either they come to me with one of two problems. Either I have a lot of sales, there's so much money coming in, but I don't have any, like, where's all the money? Or they'll say, I have so much debt. I've gotten myself into so much debt. So in either of those circumstances, what I do to analyze is we take a look at their profit and loss first. So just show me your numbers. Let's look at the sales. Let's look at the cost of goods and the difference between that, your gross margin, and see where we're missing opportunity. And that's where I always find opportunity. So we start to dig into margin, meaning what you buy it for, what you sell it for. And then we take a look, of course, at expenses, because ultimately that all drops down to the bottom line. Like, how expensive is it to run the business, and start to simplify down some of the complexities that they've most likely created in their business.
It's very easy to build up costs.
Yes.
And also very small costs. Well, small costs. Can you just think, well, small costs can really build up over time. So I mean, like, you know, if you've got some software and it costs you $100 a month, I mean, $100 is not very much, really. But $1,200—that's a course of a year. That's quite a lot of money.
Yeah,
and you get there without it, and you could easily do, you know, you could easily have 10 bits of software that cost you $100 a month. And I've also found things like returns. Right, if you, you know, if you had a customer service person that refunded £30 worth of stuff every day, which they didn't need to refund, that's £10,000, and that's £10,000 in the course of a year. And you wouldn't even notice. I mean, I had a business which turned over £3.5 million. You wouldn't even notice refunding £30 a day. I mean, that would just be like an order. But one of those every day would be £10,000. And you could do five or six of those.
And that's something that's really interesting that I find as well. A lot of my clients are high volume, and money covers issues. I found that in my own business, right? So as the sales are coming in, you're spending money because you always have cash coming in, money coming in. And so you don't put proper processes, procedures, systems in place, because there's always money to be had, right? But one day that catches up with you. That's the, like, I've signed up for 10 different apps for Shopify. Oh, I don't even use this one. I don't even use that one. Well, that one's only $50. That one's $125. But now it's added up to $1,000 a month that I'm just wasting. And so that's something that we really dive into and look at, especially in high volume. Like, where are the inefficiencies? Where have you just spent money because it's been available, instead of being really lean and mean with the business?
What are the things you look at? Like, the first five things you look at in the business?
Yeah. So first I look at margin. I look at margin on their profit and loss, and I can tell really quickly if their financials are being recorded accurately. So this is the first thing we want to fix. So when I look at a P&L, let's say we had $100,000 in sales last month, and the cost of goods recorded on the profit and loss says $80,000. Yeah. I'll say, okay, something's fishy here. Or alternatively, $100,000 in sales and your cost of goods is $20,000. And I'll say, well, I would love for you to have an 80% margin, but we know that that's not accurate. So we're not recording the inventory properly to begin with. We want the inventory to land first on the balance sheet as an asset, and then move over to the profit and loss once it's, you know, sold, we expense it out. So that's the first one and two things I look at. What is the margin, and how is the inventory being recorded? Because if it's not recorded properly, we really can't see what our margin is, and then we can't adjust. Then we'll dive into expenses. I mean, we just look at, how are you running the business? Are you running it lean and mean? We look at profit at the bottom. And last, we'll look at sales goals. So a lot of people will go in and say, like, I can increase your sales. Let's increase your sales. But if we increase sales without proper discipline underneath that, we're just going to increase expenses right alongside them. And what's the point?
Yeah. Okay. So what kind of common solutions do you find for people when they...
Yeah, I mean, really?
Is there shooting the messenger going on at any point?
No, it's all good. I mean, really simplifying down is my gift as a consultant and coach. I'm really good at looking at a complex, messy situation and saying, here's complexity. Here's where we can get rid of something. Here's how we can simplify it down. A lot of expense or a lot of margin loss comes from over complexity in a business. So what often happens is when we start a small business, we start any type of business, we have this vision, we have a goal of what we want. We do it. It doesn't work how we thought it would work. So we add another revenue stream. We bring in another product line. We add four more pages to our e-commerce site. Because if I just had more stuff, people would buy more, right? And so before we know it, we have so much complexity that nobody knows what we're really selling or who we really are. So I go in and help to get rid of some of that complexity, dial down and figure out how can we maximize every dollar. If I spend $10 on a pair of denim, pair of jeans, I want to turn that into the most amount of money I possibly can. And so we can do that with more simplicity in the business. So that's what I do. I just look, dial down, clean up. And that's painful. I'll tell you, I mean, a lot of entrepreneurs don't want to do that. You know, like if I get rid of this brand, people won't come. If I mark my products up, I'll lose all my business. You know, there's a lot of resistance. But if people follow the framework and the process, it really does work.
Okay. So what would you say is healthy? I mean, you know, if you look at a business, I mean, just, you know, if you've got any kind of rules of thumb, you know, what makes a business work in a kind of retail inventory environment?
Yeah. I mean, I think in this day and age, at least here in the States, you really can't run a profitable business with less than a 60% gross margin. You've got to get up to that 60% gross margin. And that's okay, at the
so
end
does
of
that,
the
what
day.
What does that mean exactly? So that means after what you sell it for 10, your costs are
four.
That means.
Yeah. So if you make $10, the cost of the inventory that you sold to make that $10 cost you $4. And that's like minimum. I mean, and we track margin also involves like freight in. How much did it cost to ship it to you, right? That's a cost of goods. We look at discounts and we look at end of day margin. Because I'll ask clients when I start with them, hey, tell me, you know, what is your margin? All the time they'll say, oh, I mark everything up 3 times and they're super excited about that. That's great. That's great that you bring it in and mark it up 3 times, but what is your margin? Because if you're marking it up, but then you're just clearancing it, you're offering so many discounts and coupons, like you said, refunds, all of that, you know, inaccuracy. So you're shipping and reshipping, then your margin's not 60%, right? Or 70%.
Yeah. So would you say, I mean, because we used to, I mean, for example, right, you know, we used to offer free shipping on everything. Would you include the shipping in that? Would you have to say the cost price plus the shipping, and then you need a 60% margin including everything?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I really tell my clients it's the cost to make the sale. Yeah. So if the free shipping is what created the sale, like they wouldn't have made the sale without that, that is part of the cost. So we just figure that in. So then, we need to price accordingly.
If you're in the UK, right, probably gonna say, so you've got, you know, you've got the cost of goods, you've got the sales tax, you've got, you know, if you're offering free shipping, then you've got the cost of shipping, and then you've got whatever marketing fees. Which of those would you include in your margin, your gross margin calculation?
I would include the shipping if you're offering the free shipping, and then the cost of the inventory. So I'd put the marketing down in the expense section, and then taxes as well. I wouldn't include in the cost of goods.
Okay. So what are the attributes of a successful business? I mean, if you could magic a successful business, here's a good thing. On a number of things, what are the attributes of a successful business, and what are the attributes of successful inventory? What kind of things do you think work? You know, so for example, you know, would you recommend you say avoid seasonal goods or avoid fragile goods? Was that?
Yeah. So I think the components of a successful business, really, you have to have leaders who are committed to profitability, not just interested in it. Everybody that comes to me has interest in getting out of debt, keeping more money, taking a paycheck. Everyone has interest. But the ones that are successful are the ones that are committed to doing the work to make it happen. And that's very
different. What do you mean by commit? Because I need to do this. So tell me how does commitment manifest itself?
Commitment manifests itself in a leader who's willing to seek advice, listen, try. So a lot of times, I'll give you an example. I have a client, and when I started with her over a year ago, she had a wholesale division and a retail division. Her business was so complicated. She was making money, but she was burnt out. It was a mess. And so I gave her some advice, one of which was pick a lane and stick to it. Do it really, really well. And she'll say, now, when you told me that, I thought this lady's crazy, but I did the work. I listened because I'm paying for the coaching. I listened, I did the work, and she's doing phenomenal. She loves where she's at. She got rid of the wholesale side. So commitment is asking for advice and then listening and at least trying. I'll tell people, try what I tell you to do, because what you're doing now isn't working anyway. So at least try it, and we can always stop, right? So someone that'll ask for advice, someone that'll listen, someone that'll do the hard work, someone that'll push through when it's really uncomfortable. Because I have a lot of people that will go up to the line. I had one client tell me, you know, Sierra, we were working on her open to buy budget. And she said, I went to market. She would always go to market and she would just overspend. She'd just buy all the pretty things. And so we put a budget in place. I told her how to use it. And she went to market and came back and she said, I did what you said. It was so hard because even though it was uncomfortable the way I used to do it, it was familiar. And I just wanted to go back to what was familiar. But I did the hard work, even though it was really uncomfortable. So those are the attributes of someone that's committed and not just interested.
Do you think that it requires, because I mean, you know, I ran a business on my own for 15 years and I found that as it got longer and longer, as I did it longer and longer, I found it harder and harder to do it on my own.
Yeah.
And I felt that, do you think that it's having a business partner is a good thing, or is it just too general a question for that?
I mean, I've had partners. I'm not really wired to have partners. I've learned that about myself. You know, I think some partnerships really work well, but not many of them. I think you have to have the right mix of partners, like an integrator and a visionary, people that have very different skill sets, but then complement each other. I work with one partnership group. It's two women. One of them does all the back end. So numbers, buying, bookkeeping, admin. One of them is front facing. So she does all of the retail side of things. And that works wonderfully well because they know their strengths and they complement one another. So if you can do that, I think a partnership can work. I think more so like finding a really good team, which I know is so hard now, you know, to find good people to put on our team, but teaching yourself to be a good leader, bringing in the right people, having courageous conversations when team members are not doing what they're supposed to, right? Like, don't let that stuff go on and on. Take care of it, deal with it. That can really help an entrepreneur not feel lonely in the business. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So what are the top things that you would recommend an inventory business do today? You know, if they could make, you know, what would give you the biggest win?
Yeah. Well, this one might surprise you. Enter your inventory properly. This is,
really? This is, gosh, yes. That's a pretty crazy plan.
I know. You know, I have a new client, absolutely love her. It's a second generation business. And so her parents started it a long time ago. They have never entered one piece of inventory. They just bring it in. Put a little tag on it. I mean, old school, sell it. And they've been doing well. I mean, they're profitable, but it's coming to the point where the kids are going to take it over. They want this to be sustainable. And so we're having to go back and put inventory in, and they have so many SKUs. So enter inventory properly. When you receive it, put it in your system with the cost so that you can track and you really understand what you own. So that'd be number one. Surprising, but a lot of people don't
that.
Do it.
It makes me sound good. I feel good about that because I always
yes.
did that.
Yay, you checked the box there.
Yeah.
I think another thing to start today is to look at your financials. A lot of people get their financials. They have a bookkeeper, but they don't understand them. So they put them in a file. They don't look at them. And I would say looking at financials does not mean you have to be a bookkeeper. You don't have to love the numbers, but know what the numbers are saying. So understand how a profit and loss works and understand how a balance sheet works. Super simple. I can explain that if you want me to, but that would be number two. And then number three, I think choose one number and just fall in love with it. Meaning you track it, you measure it, you get to know it, you go after it, right? So if that's your margin, make 2024 your goal. Like, I'm going to know everything I can know about what my margin is, how it's working. If it's, you know, net profit, then we focus on that. So those would be my three recommendations.
Okay. That's good. Cool. So what, okay. I think, you know, you're telling me if you're from Tennessee.
Yes.
Where's Tennessee? Is that north or south?
South, not way south, but yeah, we're in the south. We're considered southern state.
You consider southern.
Yeah, I'm from North Dakota originally, though, so as far north
North
as
Dakota.
You can go. Yes.
Gosh, that is quite a good. So, tell me, what's inspired you recently? Is there anything, you know, what's it could be a book, it could be a, you know, you know, something you've seen. Tell us something which we can all enjoy.
You know, so over the last 3 years, I decided to train for an Ironman. So I trained and completed that. And my daughter, who's 18, wanted to get into triathlon as well. And so her and I last year both trained and qualified for Ironman World Championships. And I would say,
how far is the Ironman?
Oh, yeah. So it's a 2.4 mile swim, a 112 mile bike ride, and a full marathon.
Bloody hell.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot. But watching her and getting to work out alongside her and then race alongside her, so inspiring.
Who won?
She won. It's all good. I won because I showed up and I completed it next to an 18-year-old. Like, how cool is that?
I'd just be happy if I just finished it. I think that would be pretty bloody good, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
So, where can people find you online if they want to find you?
Yeah, probably the best place is my website, sierrastockland.com. Instagram is sierrastockland as well.
I'll put a link to it. Anyway, it's been great talking to you. Thanks very much.
Thank you for having me.
Cheers. Bye-bye. That was it.